Hello and welcome to, what podcast is this?
Android Developers Backstage.
Yeah, that's the one. That podcast, I'm Chet Haas from the Android UI Toolkit team.
I'm Tor Norby from the Android Tools team.
And I'm Yeet Boyer from the Android UI Toolkit team.
Awesome. Two to one. We win today.
Is this the second data binding episode we're doing?
Yes. We talked about so much. Actually, we just didn't understand very much, so we wanted to go back and do it all again,
yeah,
except this time slower.
Translator with me this time. So what I say is understandable.
Yeah, George's accent was really tough to parse, I think, for native English speakers. So we did data binding, what, a couple of months ago with George and Yeet. And we talked a little bit about Recycler View, or at least Yeet said we did. I actually don't remember. But we thought it would be worth taking an episode out to talk specifically about Recycler View, which is a thing that you own.
Well, there are so many talks on List View, right? All the do's and don'ts of List View, because it was such an important widget and there were so many things that could go wrong. And the fact that there aren't a lot of, you know, Google I/O technical sessions on how to use Recycler View correct is probably a testament to how well it works.
Yeah, that was the whole goal. But I think by giving the talk in the Dev Summit,
we defeated Tor's point. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. It could so also exciting. Be the fact that it's relatively new. But yeah, we'll go with, yeah, it's just so good we didn't need talks. Yeah, right. That sounded fine.
Okay, so are we done?
Yeah. All right. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you.
So why don't we start with, what is Recycler View?
So Recycler View is this collection view widget we have where you can display a list of things. And we can display it efficiently by reusing the views. The recycle comes from that. So we recycle your view objects.
Things that are off screen then are...
They don't exist.
Become eligible to...
Yeah, so things off screen do not exist.
I see.
Probably.
So you only have roughly the number of items, number of views for what is required to be displayed on screen.
Yes.
Is that correct? And you're reusing those items for content as it scrolls in or out.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, so it's in the same mode as List View. Okay, so first, what's the motivation for the recycled approach? Like, these are particular kinds of widgets. Like, we have all kinds of layouts and view groups in the toolkit, but the things like List View and Recycler View and the other things that are based on List View, like, they're a particular kind of view group. So what is it they're trying to achieve?
Performance.
Okay.
I mean, unfortunately, we have limited memory. And these devices, like, you need to use it very carefully. And when you want to display a list of items, you have no idea how long that list is. And it's very hard to calculate all of them. So what Recycler View or List View does is be lazy and only calculate the ones that it needs to show in the view. So this gives you performance. And then you also make the VM happy because you are not using too much memory because you are reusing the same views instead of allocating. By not allocating, you're also making the garbage collector happy because it doesn't need to clean up more. So overall, it's a happy user experience. But of course, there's a significant overhead of, like, you need to reuse these views. Now the developer has to take care of, hey, if I reuse this item for another item, which fields do I need to clear? Which fields do I need to change? I mean, it's not super convenient, but something you have to do.
So people did this with List View, correct?
Correct.
So why a new view?
I mean, what happened? So before joining Google, I spent a ton of time trying to understand List View and trying to ask why it works the way it works instead of working very good for our use case. And then I realized there's like so many different cases List View has to take care of. It's very hard to optimize it. So there's a bunch of missed opportunities there. Like, one of the things we used to do there, completely, like, in my previous company, we would completely ignore the List Views API, instead poke the views directly when we know what has changed, when we can handle the change without rebinding all the views. This is one of the limitations of List View, where if there's a change in your adapter, you need to rebind all the views. Like, although, you know, the other things didn't change, there was no way to tell this. So this is one major difference in Recycler. So there's like multiple differences, but to be able to handle this kind of stuff, you need to, it just gets more and more complex. So Recycler View comes with completely new architecture where there's components responsible for specific tasks. So RecycleView itself is just like orchestrator. And there is like one component responsible for recycling. The adapter is more detailed. It knows what has changed. There's a layout manager. It cares about putting items around, like where they should be placed. There's an item animator responsible for the animations. It's like all these components we are creating around it. This way, it is scalable. Like we can keep creating these new functionalities and RecycleView will be fine. Versus in ListView, the more functionalities we added, the harder the code base became. And it actually at a point right now, like no one wants to touch it because you probably break some other use cases if you change how it behaves. Hopefully that won't be the case with RecyclerView because we decoupled pretty much everything.
So the RecyclerView is only responsible for maintaining a list of things that are being recycled. So ListView would lay things out like in a vertical list, right? Where is that being done?
I mean, yeah, it will actually ListView will lay things out, draw dividers, run animations.
Actually, it wouldn't run animations. You had to do it on the list view, which was tricky. But
there was an attribute we added like in API 16 or something to tell it to run animations.
I remember sitting next to you on the shuttle bus, Chet, and you were getting animations working on list items, and you were very proudly showing how when you scroll down, they would like...
Yeah. Those are the things I'm talking about. Like we layered animations on top. Like you could use a list view and then sort of manually animate those things. It would animate. It probably had like smooth scroll. It had that kind of animation, but it didn't actually animate the items themselves. Right. We would instead sort of plug it in and make it work. And
if you wanted to delete
ways.
An item, was there no way to like have that swipe to the right and have the other items?
No. Swipe was something you would have to implement, and it was tricky. And then having the items animate around it. Also tricky.
Yeah,
it'd be really embarrassing if that didn't work with RecyclerView. So let me ask the question. Does that work with RecyclerView?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
That's actually one of the things, like the swiping behavior in RecyclerView is implemented as a like completely different class, which is called Item Touch Helper. Like only uses the public API from RecyclerView to add support for swipe to dismiss and drag and drop. So like anybody could write it. RecyclerView has these APIs so that you can build stuff on top of it. Without affecting the rest of components, so that if you have a RecyclerView that doesn't use swipe to dismiss, you don't have an overhead, and your code is simpler.
So is that tied to the RecyclerView, or I mean, imagine that it would have to know about like the layout manager.
No,
actually, let's talk about the layout manager.
So
what is the layout manager?
The layout manager is that's the main component that decides where to put the views. It also decides when it doesn't need a view anymore, and so we have a linear layout manager, which is basically a list view when you combine it with a recycle view.
But correct me if I'm wrong, it can go both vertically and horizontally.
Yeah.
And whoa.
Supports
that
RTL.
Is huge. As opposed to list view, it basically only did vertical and people kept saying, could we just go to the side too? No.
Just rotate it 90 degrees. Just apply a transform.
Turn your phone.
Yes. Yeah.
This idea is like that kind of stuff is really hard to add if you don't think about it at first. So, like, I suffered from ListView not supporting horizontal. So, when I was writing the linear layout manager, this is going to support both orientations from day one.
At the time, I wasn't here at the time, but I believe when the ListView was written, there was only a vertical orientation in the world. So, I think it's reasonable that they didn't think about horizontal because we simply didn't have that dimension.
That's interesting. That was before I was born.
Well, honestly,
I'm not sure of the dates, but I'm pretty sure that's why.
But honestly, how often do you deal with horizontal lists?
It depends on whether I'm like lying down in bed or sitting up.
Okay. Yeah, so the linear layout manager has nothing to do with linear layout, right? It's just the fact that it is a layout manager that lays things out in a linear fashion that could be either horizontal or vertical.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, they do the same layout except linear layout manager works with RecyclerView and can support infinite lists versus if you put a long list inside the linear layout, it will probably crash because you run out of memory. Yeah.
Okay, and how many other layout managers do you have, and what are they?
So we have two more. One of them is the grid layout manager.
Okay.
And the other one is the staggered grid layout manager.
Staggered grid is a grid layout manager that had a few too many drinks.
I know that for notifications, you know, they sort of, when you dismiss them, they sort of go out in a staggered way. Is that anything like that, where you can have the list items?
Not
no,
at
okay.
all.
What's a staggered list, staggered layout
That's a
manager?
Question. Which application has a staggered grid?
I'm Keep, trying to think.
The Keep application on Android uses it.
Yeah.
Where it's like a grid. But the height of items may be different.
Yeah, that's like a very clever algorithm for how to fit things and size things, right? So that they are it's sort of like a grid, but longer items get more space. And it fits all available space. There aren't like empty, you know, blocks in the middle.
Actually, you may get empty blocks in the middle, depending on your layout.
Depending on how many nodes you have.
Like the adapter you have.
Okay.
So these are all instantiations of particular kinds of layouts. And then at the top, mm-hmm. you have the generic layout manager that doesn't do anything that you need to implement, right? But you have mm-hmm. the interface or the abstract class as part of Recycler View. What's the contract? So if you want your own layout manager that's not one of the ones that we provide, mm-hmm. what's the contract that you have to implement?
Actually, like, if you want to write a simple use case layout manager for your own application, there is two methods you need to override, basically. One of them is to onLayout children, which is like, hey, here's the recycler where you can get the views from, and here is some information about the state, like how many items there are, and lay out your children.
And the recycler view, the state has the information basically about what are the children that are currently visible, that are currently active?
It only gives you a range. It says like there are 20 items. And then you know that you can query the recycler for 20 items, and we will return you views for these items. And then layout manager is responsible to lay them out.
Okay.
And then you probably also want to support scroll and a focus search. And it gets more and more complex from there on. But like a basic layout manager, there's pretty much one single method you have to implement just to tell where to put items. And the animations and everything else will just work.
Okay, and then the trick with onLayout children is there's only one method, but depending on what you're trying to do with animations, that could be called twice.
So this when you get fancy. So
if you want to a fancy widget. Excellent.
So there's something called predictive animations that Chet came up with.
What?
Pretty good name. It predicts the past, not also the future. Actually, what does it mean to predict the past?
It means I forgot what happened, but I'm going to make stuff up.
That's what RecyclerView does.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, so in this, the way predict, so let me explain what it is. So in a list of items, let's say one view just disappeared from one layout call to the other one. RecyclerView knows that the view disappeared. We could fade it out. But RecyclerView doesn't know what happened to the view. Like, did it just got removed from the adapter? In which case, we should really fade it out and to tell the user that, hey, this item is disappearing. Versus, did the item just go out of bounds because a view on top of it just got bigger and pushed this previous view out of bounds? And so this is the information RecyclerView doesn't know. So what we do in predictive, or is actually one more case where if a view appeared in the layout out of nowhere, RecyclerView doesn't know if it was added to the adapter just right now, or it was already in the adapter, but just became visible because some other views got removed. So we need to get this information. The way RecyclerView does is, at the time of a layout, so between two layout calculations, we check what has changed in the adapter, see if we need to run a predictive animation because something might happen. And then if we want to do that, we create a state for the layout manager, which includes the removal or deletion information, but doesn't include anything added. So we actually create a view of adapter, a special view of the adapter for the layout manager, like view like in database table views. So layout manager doesn't have direct access to the adapter. It only uses this API. So we tell the layout manager, hey, lay out yourself. By the way, these three items have been removed. So layout manager, for example, for a linear layout manager, if three items have been removed, it knows that it's going to fill from more items from the bottom of the list. So it just lays out three more items to the off-screen. So now we know that those items were there in the previous layout. They were just not drawn because they were not visible, but they will be visible. And then RecyclerView was, oh, okay, nice, these items are going to show up. We run another layout, they show up. Now we know where they came from. So instead of fading them in, we run a move, like we run a translate animation.
Is that going to be on the test?
Yes, at the end of this podcast.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Don't worry, it's multiple choice. But there's 73 choices. Okay, right. So there's one method, but we potentially call it twice. If you enable predictive animations, which is not enabled by default, but is enabled in the three layout managers that we ship.
Correct. It's actually very easy to implement the predictive animation layout. It's just that if they don't implement it, then we would be doing unnecessary work. That's why it's not on by default.
Right. So the fact that I was involved in that early on when Adam Powell was coming up with some of the initial architecture stuff, my interest was in basically making richer widgets. It was sad to me that none of the widgets that we shipped were doing animations or rich behavior by default. And ListView was like one of the major widgets that everybody was using, and you would just get this sort of atomic snappy behavior. An item deletes and everything, you know, it repaints itself with, you know, new content in there, and you're not exactly sure if you're not paying attention where things came from or where it went to. So the idea of shipping some of our core components with the animated behavior that A, gave a richer experience, but also helped the user understand actually what was going on at all times was very appealing to me. So then feeding in that stuff into the initial architecture so that we could do it by default in the thing that we shipped, and then also allow enough API hooks for people to enrich that more if they wanted to, was sort of a key goal.
Has that been done for any of the other widgets, or is Recycler View sort of the primary for that?
There were other animations that came along as part of material design. So all of this stuff kind of fed into the same release, sort of coincidentally. Like, we were already thinking of how can we make richer experiences, some of the core components, and then the material design changes came along in Lollipop, and all of this stuff happened to be developed at the same time. So Recycler View was available in the Lollipop. It was sort of considered part of that release, although it's in support library. It's kind of disconnected from that. But it all works toward the same goal of, like, overall, you know, richer experience.
So if I have a linear layout, not the layout manager, but linear layout, and I delete a child there, will there be animations of the other children?
No.
Sort of, no.
You can
are there
use
any
a transition manager.
Yeah.
Okay, but are there built-in behaviors into any other widgets that you're aware of?
No.
All right, so Recycler View is quite special.
Yeah, and to some extent, like, one of the tricks in doing this, one of the reasons that we could do it in Recycler View is that we control enough of the experience and the information that we can make the right decisions, or at least call out to your code and tell us and have you tell us what's going on. So that's the point in the predictive layout pass, is that we can call you and say, here's all the information you need. Now tell us where things should have been before a layout actually runs. And then we can compile all that information and say, okay, we know the before state, we know the after state, we can run some simple animations. We can provide the hooks for you to change those animations if you want. In a more generic layout that you may subclass or which may have, like, custom views in it, it's a little bit harder to get your hands on all of the information to do the right things in all situations.
I mean, also, like, all these new things don't come for free. So, like, for example, for the predictive animations to work, you need to tell us what has changed in the adapter. So if you just say, hey, like, adapter notify data set changed, which means invalidate the whole adapter, then we cannot run predictive animations because we don't know what happened.
I see. So that is a really important point to developers then, is that when you are using an adapter and you're modifying it, if you can send more granular information, you know, like when you delete an item, you tell the adapter, I deleted this item, not, hey, I deleted something, please refresh yourself.
Correct. That makes a huge difference. I mean, we avoid rebinding views, so you gain performance. And there's, like, you might be thinking that, hey, like, the contents of the item didn't change, so it's not going to cost anything. But that's not true. If you call a bunch of setters on the views, their measurements get invalidated, so we need to remeasure and relay out them. Versus if you know they didn't change, there's basically no cost involved.
So when you call setters and the values don't change, we still invalidate? There's no
if you're using text view and you call set text with the same string, it will still invalidate itself. That means you have a new layout calculation, a bunch of expensive operations.
Okay.
So another one of the signals that we have in Recycler View to give us more information so we can do the right thing is the change. Right. So you can tell us not just when things are added or removed or what the range is, instead of, you know, the old approach in the list view is like, well, the list changed and then we redo everything. Here they can also tell us this item changed. Right. And then there were recent changes that you worked on. Changes. See how integrated. That's hilarious.
It rhymes.
It does rhyme. I should totally work on poetry where it rhymes because it's the same word over and over and over again. So they can tell us this item changed, and they can also give us more information and allow an even richer both a richer animation experience as well as a lower overhead one by simply reusing the view. So I don't know. That's a segue for you to talk about change animations.
Good. So previous, the initial version of Recycler. So one hard thing to handle is the change, because if an item has changed, how do we animate it? Like, oh, we have no idea. So in the first version of Recycler, what we did was we actually create another view holder that holds the same view, the updated version, and we would crossfade to two, which most of the time works pretty well, although there is overhead of creating the new view holder. Since we are already being like more careful in other areas, we can afford that additional cost.
To be clear, we create a new view holder and a new view. No, so it's not the same view. It's just potentially the same content or whatever. But totally new objects.
So
how do you do that? Do you clone it?
No, we call the adapter to bind another
view holder. Oh, because you can just ask it for okay.
Yeah, we just give it a fresh view holder.
Yep.
So what happens? So this works very well, but there are some situations where this is not the desired behavior. Like if the view is really, really complex and you're just changing a tiny part of it, you actually cannot display change, because like crossfading the whole thing looks kind of ugly. And so we came up with this.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. So if you have two images that are almost the same, crossfitting looks ugly?
No. He's saying if the content is quite different.
Oh,
like they're different.
Oh, I see. So there was a knot in there that I missed. Got it. Okay, yes.
So it's a big view. Yeah. Or like it resizes. Sometimes it doesn't look well.
And a resizing would be a problem.
Yeah.
It might be an expensive view too, so you may not want two versions of that view holder.
And also we cause a layout, right? Like when we create a new view holder and add that, doesn't that cause a layout? And it's sort of an expensive operation in addition to the object creation?
But we cannot really, we still use the layout.
Okay. All right.
The new version doesn't change it. So what the new version does is, so we came up with this API like 2.23.1.
Oh, so version. Very recently.
Yeah, it's very recent where the item animator can say, I want to reuse this view holder instead of creating a new one. So when a view holder is changed, Recycler view, now instead of creating a new version of it for the animations, it tells the item animator, hey, like, do you know how to animate this view holder in itself? And if you know how to do it, I'm going to rebind to the same view holder. So in that scenario, what happens is that the item animator receives another call to say, record information about this view because it's going to change. So it records whatever it wants. So let's say there's a text you want to animate. It records what the value of that text was before it has been rebound.
So if I'm a developer and I'm using support library and I have an adapter that's calling it a recycler view and I'm just using like a linear list, do I have to do anything to opt into this?
Yes.
What is it that I have to do?
You should be in a case where you want to customize your animations. If you don't want to customize your animations and you are fine with crossfade, you don't need to do anything.
Default item animator takes care of most of what you want.
Yeah.
And then you can sort of select what it is you want to customize.
Now, I have these interesting cases where, for example, there's a like button on a view. When the user taps, you want it to animate like some vector animation as the user taps.
Yeah.
Now, if you do this with crossfade, it's not going to work nice. What you will do is, you would extend the item animator and override the animate change method, and also override the can reuse method. So in the can reuse method, if you know like this like button has changed, you will say, yeah, I want to reuse this. And when the animation is running, you will say, you know the like button has changed. So the only animation you would trigger would be like animate this heart to do some fancy stuff.
I see.
And it's the same view, it's very cheap. The adapter is not affected at all. Actually, we have another API that works very well with these two, with this kind of use cases where in the adapter, when you say an item has changed, you can send the payload.
Okay.
So you can say like the payload identifies what has changed. And then if Recycler view already has the view holder for that item, so let's say the item at position 3 has been liked.
Yeah.
So when you call notify item change, you say you send a payload as a regular Java object.
Yeah.
This has been liked.
And then you can just cast to whatever the thing was.
Yes, if you like need to identify it further.
Yeah.
What Recycler View does is if and only if we reuse the view holder, we pass that payload to the unbind method. So in your unbind method, if you receive a payload, you know that this view holder is already bound to this position. Like, I know I'm reusing a view holder. I just need to look at the payloads to see what I should update. So essentially, you can make your update a lot cheaper. Instead of resetting everything in the view, you only reset what has changed, and you know it from the payload. Okay. And the same information used by the item animator to run the animations. Like, all of this happens a lot cheaper than we can automatically do. And it looks a lot nicer as well.
Okay, I want to jump back 7 or 8 stack frames here. Let's say that I'm a developer who has a large project and is using List View.
Mm-hmm.
How? So it sounds, and I am already sold now that, you know, the recycler view is better. It's going to be better performance, and I'm going to have animations, right? How much work is it to migrate, and what is it involved? Do you have any metrics for, you know, the amount of work involved?
Metrics.
For typical
data. Do you have some data about this?
Well, we have data. We have some charts. I'd like to do a presentation for you, actually.
I want to hear, like, it took me 3 hours to migrate 50 layouts.
So first of all, I would say you don't necessarily need to switch, right? So just because we came out with a new and what we think is much more flexible and better and powerful way of doing this thing, it doesn't mean that the thing you're doing already doesn't work for you.
Yeah, Android 2 is not retroactively going to delete it. Right? Like, you're going to be fine to open the project with list view. It's not going to disappear.
Yeah.
But let's say I want animations.
Okay. Yeah. So if you come up with a new thing that you want to do with this list view object and you realize that it's painful for whatever reason, you know, animations are possible, but, you know, they tend to be tricky to do or whatever. Okay. Then it's time to look at recycler view. First of all, look at the feature set. We do not necessarily have parity with all the things that ListView does.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what are some of those? Are headers supported in the same way?
There is no – ListView has this API called header footer view. We don't have it in recycler view, and we probably won't have it.
This is where, as I'm scrolling, the first row stays in place to sort of show me what the –
No, the first row doesn't stay in place. Instead, this is – you can have a header. It's like the first item in your adapter, predefined, but it's actually not in your adapter.
But it scrolls off the screen. So really, you could simulate this, but it's putting a vertical linear layout with a header, recycler view, and footer. Is that correct? And a scroll view around the whole thing?
No, you wouldn't. You would probably put it into the like first position in your adapter. That would be easier.
So
that's the preferred way to do it
scrolling.
Today. You just wrap your adapter with a header view adapter where the first item is the special header view.
Okay.
And you every time the adapter dispatches a notify event, you just offset it. And dispatch it back to recycler view.
What's the use case for headers and footers and lists?
If you want something at the top or the bottom of your list.
Yes, I'm just...
Any other questions?
I'm trying to imagine some example for that.
I mean, there's a couple of APIs recycler view doesn't have. And some of them are like... It's not necessarily we don't think they're important. It's more like there's a solution for them versus there's like different problems recycler view is trying to solve. Mainly animations, the performance, the flexibility. Like, this is what recycler is focused on.
Yeah. So headers and footers, you are not the target audience for this. Is
and
there anything
not
else?
Cool enough.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
Is there anything else that is like, we don't have that yet?
Multi-selection?
Yeah, like a selection, actually. Recycler doesn't have the notion of selection.
Okay.
That's something we will implement.
Okay.
We should have it.
So you can do it now by basically, adding click handlers to your adding click handlers to the views.
That's correct. Yeah, you could just like attach yourself to a bunch of lifecycle methods in recycler view and implement this very nicely. That's what we will do as a component. So we don't need to change recycler view's code base.
So you just like you
selection.
Have that on item touch hand helper. You're gonna have like an on item selection handler,
like something like that. So
that's
the whole idea. Like these things can be components that write recycler view. This makes the class scalable. So hopefully it won't end up with this view where we cannot change it anymore.
The only downside to this, and now I'm speaking as sort of the Android Studio person, right? It's like, you know, we're working on a new layout editor. We showed that last year at Google I/O. And, you know, it is nice to be able to sit in a UI builder and say, I want to, for this recycler view, I want to enable multi-selection, right? These seem like properties on the view. And the second, instead, this takes like, you got to go in the Java code and the place where you instantiate it, you got to go and take this other helper class and call that method and pass it, you know, this is not so composable. So if there are ways of hooking this up, you know, as properties, you know, on the, and this could be a trick only on the layout inflator, right? So your recyclative inflator, if it can have a property that says, I am a, you know, I am animatable, and your inflator just goes and calls the helper on self or whatever, that would be helpful.
So it's, there's a little problem there, because then you still need a callback for those actions, right? You still need to be able to, like, when something is selected, call something else, or for the swiping or dragging behavior, you need to actually call a callback to do the action on the backing data store. Like, you cannot just click on it and set it up, because there's probably some other actions you want to do, which you also need the hook. I think a better integration we could do is, as you click on it, the IntelliJ could run a refactor on your code to automatically generate the Java code and then move you to the place where you have the callback. Now you know what you need to implement too.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, nice. Back in your code.
Yeah, though, again, I'm sort of thinking back to other UI builders, right? I mean, typically they do handle the case of like, hey, I want to add a click. I have a button. I want to now add a click handler to this. Mm-hmm. You don't have to configure that in code. And then the UI builder lets you double click and set the event handler typically, right? So the way this works for, I think, a button today is you can write an onClick, and the onClick property names a method. Mm-hmm. And maybe you'll tell me now that the performance of this is terrible, right? That if the XML is naming a method. But that, I mean, that would be a simple way of doing it. Like, you name the handler that you then have to implement, right? And so in Android Studio, we tell you if your onClick handler doesn't resolve to a proper method, for mm-hmm. example, right?
That's a reasonable approach. If the interface is that easy, that would probably be, not be that hard to hook it up. I think since we haven't actually done this work yet, we're not sure what the interface would be and whether it's, you know, a single method that then you need to implement the tool could take you to. Yeah. I would pose, though, that if you're trying to target the tool toward people who don't enjoy writing code, maybe they're not in the right business. I'm just throwing that out there.
I just have to object to that on principle. Yeah, I mean, why would we have a UI builder? You know, like, you're a developer, you should write code. Is that what you're saying?
Just remind yourself of what you're actually doing for a living. You know, I think it's fun. And if it's not, you know, there are other jobs out there. All right, why don't we come back and have this conversation when we've actually
I would just like you to mention to everyone, what again is your Twitter handle and your Google Plus handle?
Because
send your comments to chat. Why UI builders are useless?
They don't
get a job, people.
This is the advantage of a podcast. They don't actually know who's speaking it right now. They're like, they don't know whose voice this is, right?
Well, so good thing I'm naming you Chet.
But actually, I'm Yeet. So
that's not going to work.
All right. So moving on. Okay. So other things that are not handled, adapters is also a place where ListView has more built in, right?
Yeah. So like this one important, if you're going to migrate from ListView to Recycler, you need to get ready to understand the native thing. If you try to, like, adapters is one example. If you convert a ListView adapter into a RecyclerView adapter, you just throw out all the optimizations we made for RecyclerView, and your animations won't be as nice. So you should spend the time to dispatch the proper notify events, or there's like some problems. There's like one of the most common bugs in RecyclerView is that there's this onBind method, right? We give you a view holder and a position. We tell the adapter, hey, bind whatever item you have into this view holder, and the item position is this. And it was so common in ListView where you would add a click listener, make that position final, and let's say if user clicks this button, I'm deleting this item. And in inline call, you would use the same position again to delete the item. And this doesn't work in RecyclerView because we don't rebind a view just because it has moved. So, for example, we tell you, okay, bind the item at position 3 to this view holder. And then something happened and the position at item 2 has been deleted. We are not going to call this again to rebind because nothing has changed for position 3. Now, if you receive a callback, now you think that this item is at position 3, but instead it's actually 2 now. It's like these kind of things, and this is actually very easy to fix because we provide a method to get the adapter position inside the view holder. And these are things you need to be careful about. We gave a talk with Chet in the developer summit, and I had a section about this for like 5 minutes. It's like
some. This sounds so familiar. Did you file a lint request for this?
Ah, yes, I did.
I have not implemented that yet. Okay,
yeah, see, like, if someone makes the position parameter final in onBind call, they're probably doing something like this, and that's very wrong. Like, after that call return, that position is not valid anymore.
All right, I'll take this as a personal challenge. Who can get out first, this podcast or that lint rule? We'll see.
So, what was your Twitter handle?
What's that?
Just in case it doesn't come out.
I don't really use Twitter.
That's true, yeah. He gets around this problem by basically never checking any mechanism by which people might communicate with him.
I check IM.
You?
Yeah.
Okay, so generally. His IM handle is... So, selection adapters and that other thing. Anything else major?
Yeah, actually, there's another interesting use case, I see. So this happens a lot, right? People migrate from list view to the recycler view. And another very, very interesting thing I see from people is that if I call this API in recycler view, if you call notify dataset change, it doesn't run some animations. Instead, if you tell the recycler view that items from position 0 to the item length has changed, then it runs more animations. So then people prefer to call that API. And they're basically, wow, this looks much better. It's actually, no, you just fooled the recycler view into thinking that different items are actually the same item. And when you were testing by your hand, it looked like it's working. And your user sees something totally different, very broken, because you called the wrong API. So it's these are not limitations we put on purpose, although sometimes I think chat does that. But usually...
So make sure you deserve to be a programmer. Yeah.
Just make sure people are paying attention.
Yeah, he wants people to at a certain level.
Are these pitfalls? I mean, so it sounds like you had a talk at the Dev Summit about this. Are they also written down somewhere, searchable?
No?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Maybe I should.
Yeah, that would be great.
That comes out before this.
Actually, you had that long series on Medium for, all the recommendations that the framework team had come up with, right? This seems like another one of those posts.
There's
maybe.
Probably some recycler view articles that could be written.
Yeah, maybe we should. These are mostly if we put that API there's really a reason. I try hard to make those APIs easy, but just sometimes it's not feasible. It might be possible, but that will be very expensive in other ways. So I'd rather the developers spend the time to call the right API so that everything else can work efficiently.
Okay. That's probably a good idea.
Okay. So I don't know if we answered your question. So I was saying, first step, do you actually need to do this port to rewrite your code? Second step is figure out whether any of the features you depend on are actually in the new architecture, because there's not feature parity there. It's sort of a slightly different direction, more modular approach. And then at that point, what do they need to port? And I guess you answered some of that stuff. Oh, I wanted to ask about one important thing that we've noticed when talking to some people that are new to Recycler View is there's an assumption that they're going to subclass Recycler View and have their own Recycler View subclass. We've seen a couple of teams do this, whereas in actual fact, Recycler View itself is the controller you should just depend on, and then you end up implementing or subclassing things like Layout Manager. So usually you can get all the recycler view behavior you want by having your own custom layout manager as opposed to a recycler view subclass.
Yeah, this is definitely recycler is not designed to be subclass.
Right.
It tries to provide APIs so you can write changes behavior using these APIs.
But
let's say you are writing a view pager, then you want it to be inflated from XML. And so if you write a view pager on top of recycler view, you would have your own custom layout manager. The consumer of your API doesn't need to know about it. So in that case, yes, fair to override recycler view and provide the view pager class. But otherwise, if you're doing it to customize.
Well, it seems to me going right back to the point we had earlier, if I wanted to have a self-contained widget that comes pre-configured calling all the right on item touch helper and on select handler, that would be precisely when I'd want to do this, right? I'd want to make a class that could be instantiable from XML, yet it calls all the right stuff upon construction.
Yeah. If that's really what you want to do, yes.
Well, when you put it like that, well, if that's what you want to do, I guess, go ahead.
No, I didn't mean a bad way. That might be...
No, because I'm thinking another case people might have done this is that I think you added, after the initial release, you added the ability through XML to set the layout manager.
Correct.
Right. So early on, you might have wanted to make a class called, linear recycler view, right? Which makes a recycler view, but also sets the layout manager. But now you can set it in XML. There's an attribute now, so you can say, please, I want this to be a grid.
Yeah, that's actually true. If you, And it's pretty useful for most of the use cases.
Yeah.
Because it's rarely a case where you need the access to the actual layout manager. Usually you have enough APIs from the recycler view.
It's also, we use it in Studio to do preview so that we can look at it and show it in a list if it looks like it's a list view, for example.
Well, what a coincidence that someone from the Studio team implemented this feature.
Yes, what a coincidence.
I think it is reasonable to have defaults that the tool can pull in. I don't know if that's what it does right now or if you want to get to. So, like, if the pluggable architecture, like, we're never going to predetermine the layout manager you have, but if it's easy enough in the tool to say, hey, I want a linear recycler view, and you just, you know, hook up the wiring and configure the XML appropriately, like, that sounds totally appropriate. Yeah. I don't know if you have something else in mind. Like, the fear we have is creating a monolithic API like we have in ListView that then becomes so fragile and so unfriendly toward future compatibility that we're kind of stuck with it, and then eventually we just have to rewrite it.
Yeah, no, I think the architecture, it's definitely good that you've decoupled the concerns of recycling things from laying things out. But I think at the end of the day, when you're producing a UI, it's nice to be able to sort of grab something that is a grid thing or a list thing. And that should reuse the same core component, right? But it's also nice not to have to go and decompose all this and in Java code sit and configure all the attributes by hand. It's nice to have that in the layout if it's layout-like things.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We should totally talk to somebody on the tools team sometime about that and figure out what they're requiring.
Do you know anyone who works in the recycle review?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk later.
He's doing evangelism.
All right. Let's see. Are there any common tips or pitfalls you want to cover?
I don't know. I think this is pretty good coverage.
Fit some of them.
We have a bunch of cool stuff in the Dev Summit video. I think it's very helpful to watch. And actually, it also tells you how to customize these animations, which is great.
We should totally open source the code that we talked about there. maybe by the time we actually post this podcast, we'll have gotten around to that. Yeah.
Well, you had another talk there about data binding, and I saw a bunch of people talking about how that code has been posted.
Oh, no. I actually had another talk about
that. Oh, a third talk.
Architecture talk.
It's busy. Evangelist.
Yeah. Yeah. It's evangelist. Yes. I'm not sure what I'm evangelizing for, but...
All the code that you used to write before you were an evangelist, apparently.
Is recycle review data binding friendly?
Actually, there's something we need to do there. I mean, it is. These two work very well, especially the payloads.
Mm-hmm.
The payload mechanism we have to do, like differential updates, works very well with data binding, except that the adapter you need to write is a little bit complex that we have to provide it as an API that we haven't done it yet.
Okay, so you'll provide something which takes the... I don't know what it's called, observable. I mean, I guess you have some collection-like observable data structure that data binding uses, right?
Yeah.
So can you have some way of mapping from that to a recycler view adapter?
So I think if we combine data binding and recycler view with the tools, we can really have a very nice drag-and-drop developer experience
nice.
Who doesn't need to write any code. And they can still be developers chat. I don't know if that's okay with you.
I don't know. It just feels sad.
Oh, I'm sure they'll still have to write code to make the animations work.
Yes. Excellent. All right.
I mean, we will do the architecture demo, the example. Like, it was really important because there's a bunch of things we are telling there. And it's like, yeah, but it doesn't make too much sense.
Maybe we can do a quick pitch for that at the end of this talk, right? So what is the architecture thing that you covered?
So this actually, okay. So we gave a talk with Adam Powell in the Developer Summit about how you should architecture your apps. It's not about which pattern you should use. Like, we don't care use model view controller or view model or whatever. We have no idea, or we don't really care what tools you use.
What?
Except Android Studio.
Okay, all right, good.
Except Android Studio libraries. But what you should care about is that your application should be designed to work offline. Like, you should separate these two things. Making network requests and how your user interface works should never have anything to do with each other.
Right.
So we're trying to tell developers a story. There's a simple social sharing application example, how you can post something, it locally saves, it eventually syncs it to the server. It gives little nice clues to the UI about what happened, while you never block the user. You use, those applications, you send a comment and you see a loading bar.
No good.
Yeah, it's terrible. So
I don't know. I don't know how many times I was like out hiking and I got this awesome picture, you know, and I wanted to post it right then with the location from Google Plus at the time. And it just wouldn't, like, no network, can't send. And then there was, like, no way. And by the time you were home, like, the location was wrong and you lost the whole thing. It was super annoying. That should have gone to an outbox.
Yeah. This was, and it's also, like, this mentality is really important for developing worlds. Like,
yeah.
Not everybody has the network connections we have here.
We don't have it here either. Believe me, in the Bay Area. Yeah.
The mobile expense app that we have is awful in exactly that way, which is even more ridiculous because it is an app written for people that are traveling. When I'm traveling, I may not be on a network and I can't file anything. Like you can't upload a picture. Yeah. It's
Exactly, so for these cases, we wrote a demo application which does this properly.
And so where can people find this?
It is on my GitHub.
Well,
that'll be obvious for everyone then.
Link to it in the show notes. I'll also link to the talks.
HTTP.
www. Wait, did I say it two or three times? It's three. www.
Is it GitHub or is it YitHub?
That's not the G I have in my name. This G is actually a real G.
So it's GitHub. GitHub.
All right. That will work.
Great. So we'll provide some links. Maybe we'll post more code in the future. The code that we were going to post was more about doing customized change animation, so not quite as powerful as the architecture stuff, and I'm going to use that as my rationalization for why I haven't gotten around to it yet. Any closing thoughts?
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for coming.
You.